That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. Just some of the stories of what God has done. Well, this morning, this message has been on my heart for a couple of weeks. And when I get into this message, you might be thinking that, you know what? This message is for so-and-so. This message is for you. And as I got looking around the room here today, and, you know, all of our normal musicians, they're not here. All the pastors aren't here. There's a lot of people in our church that, you know, do things in the church. They're not here this morning. So this message is for you, to be applied to you. And this here is from the story of Gideon in the Bible. It's in Judges chapter 6, if you want to turn there with me, verses 11 to 24. And as I was reading this, kind of different slant to it came to me. And it was like, what does God think of us? Because sometimes we believe a lot of lies of what we think God thinks of us. And I really feel that God wants to correct our thinking today of who you are and how important you are this very morning. So Judges chapter 6, starting at verse 11. Actually, I'll give one more testimony, because I see we have some of our people that work at Smills here today. So you probably know that I have this Camaro now, and I got that at Smills. So one morning, our second speaker came out, and he spoke, and Simon Clarence, and he's just sweating away. And he was telling me it was really hot in his room last night, and I had already donated two air conditioners for the speakers. And I said, hey, what happened to the air conditioners? Well, we put them in this other room. Well, I said, this man needs an air conditioner in the room. You can't have speakers and not look after them. So I said, I'll take care of it. I'll go out and I'll buy another air conditioner and I'll donate it to the camp. And so as I was leaving, I saw this guy walking by there, and I knew him. And I said, hey, you want to come into Bonneville with me? I said, I got to go find an air conditioner. And sure, he hopped in, and since he was coming in, I let him drive the car, right? So on our way in, he says, so what are we buying an air conditioner for? I said, well, for our speaker. And this is his first time at camp. And he said, well, I'd like to do something for the camp. Could I buy the air conditioner? Sure. Like, I was thinking, like, man, this is more stuff coming out of my pocket here. And I said, sure, brother, man, you can do that. And, of course, you know, when we got to this store, the small ones weren't there. Only the more expensive ones were there, right? Didn't matter to him. He said, I want to buy this. And so then as we leave, he says, could we drop by Tercier Motors? I'd really like to show my mom this car. So we did that. He didn't know that that car originally came from Tercier Motors. So when we got there, his mother came out. It was his mother that actually sold that car to a guy in Fort McMurray. Like, who would ever think of that? So the son is driving that car that the mother sold. But anyway, weird things that God can do and order our steps. And anyway, he took care of that. And then he was so excited about helping people. There was another gentleman that lost his job, and he told me, he said, you know what? He said, I don't know if that guy knows or not, but I really felt to give him $500, and I didn't want to give it to him and be embarrassed. So he said, I kind of snuck up to him, and I shoved it in his coat pocket. And he said, but I don't think he knows. So I went and asked the guy, did you happen to have a pocket miracle? And the guy had no clue what I was talking about. I said, you better go home and back in your room and check your coat pocket there. And but, you know, just God using people that were there for the very first time just to bless somebody, right? So anyway, some cool little things that happen when you're at camp. Judges 6, verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer, Gideon, son of Joash, and was threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles our ancestor told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. And then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. The Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Gideon replied, if you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it's really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you. And he answered, I will stay here until you return. Gideon hurried home. He cooked a young goat with a basket of flour. He baked some bread without yeast. And then carrying the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, he brought them out and presented them to the angel who was under the great tree. The angel of God said to him, place the meat and the unleavened bread on this rock and pour the broth over it. Gideon did as he was told. And then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the bread with the tip of his staff in his hand. And fire flamed up from the rock and consumed all that he had brought. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, O sovereign Lord, I am doomed. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. It's all right, the Lord replied. Do not be afraid. You will not die. And Gideon built an altar to the Lord and named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. The altar remains at Ophrah in the land of the clan of Ebiezer to this day. Lord, may your word be blessed in this house today. May you speak through this word to your people that they would hear what you would have to say to them in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been reading in the book of Judges in my own devotional time, and the Lord has been giving me some messages out of this book. And this here is one of those other messages that the Lord really impressed upon my heart from the story of Gideon, the person that was chosen by God to deliver Egypt from the bondage of the Midianites who had controlled Israel for over 7 years and put them into bondage. Now, as you read on this story of Gideon, I really find it interesting because as I look at his character and how he talks, I find that he really represents a lot of us. And when we're given a challenge by God, I find that we're kind of almost identically saying the exact kind of things back to God as Gideon said to him. And you know, at the time when you listen to the story of Gideon, as you read these words, you kind of think, I don't know if he was the right choice. I don't know if he was the right candidate to lead Israel against this nation of the Midianites to free Israel from this bondage. And as you read that story and all of his excuses and all of his problems and all the things that he was doing, you would almost think that maybe God made a mistake to appoint this man. That maybe God picked the wrong person for the job. But see, we need to realize that God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't pick the wrong person for the job. He picks the right person for the job. And when he speaks to you, he's speaking to the right person, even though lots of times we might say, oh, that must have been for so-and-so. That's not me. I'm not listening to that. But God is speaking this morning. And you know, as we look at how God speaks to us, I find that God is famous because he uses ordinary people. You know, we often kind of exclude ourselves that we could do anything great for God because, well, you know, I'm just an ordinary individual. I don't have anything, you know, great talents. You know, I'm just an ordinary person. Well, God loves ordinary people. And God loves to use just ordinary people. And God is desiring to use us that are here this very day. So it's really good that some of the people that are normally up here, they're not here. The pastors aren't here. So you'll know that this message was not for them. This message is for you. That God is desiring to use you. Yes, he can use them too, but he's desiring to use you this morning. He wants to speak to you this morning. And sometimes, you know, we're just like Gideon and we'll say, who, me? Surely, you don't mean me, God. Like, surely this message is not for me. It is a mistake that I came to church today. I was supposed to be somebody else and I came to church. Oh, no. No, God wants to speak to you today. It's you that he wants to speak to. See, he is calling people in this church to do extraordinary things for him. It was interesting when Sam Farina from the U.S., as he came up, and his first words out of his mouth, he was kind of late in the service, so giving us a little bit of pressure there as he flew in. And he said, you know, when I came up here, he said, the very first thing that came to my mind, he said, is that God is wanting to do extraordinary miracles in this area. And he said, I wanted to share that with you people today. He said, but that's what's been on my heart, that as I came here, that's what God spoke to me. And that's something that we've heard before, and, you know, just a confirmation that God wants to use people to do extraordinary things right here. God is wanting to use each and every one of you that are here today to do extraordinary things for Him. See, God is raising up hidden ones. God is raising up the unlikely to accomplish big things. And I know we often try to fight against that, and we kind of think, well, you know, that just couldn't happen through me. You know, I'm just not talented enough. I'm not gifted enough. You know, I'm scared to share my faith. And we come up with all these kinds of stories just like Gideon. And so this morning, I really believe that God wants to correct our thinking today. And God wants to encourage you today and speak into your life. And so as I was looking at this passage, there's kind of two areas that I want to look at. Some of the lies that we believe, and then the truth that we really do need to believe. So first of all, in those lies, you know, as you look at this story, Gideon serves as an excellent example of lies that we believe in ourselves, that we often try to exclude ourselves from any call that God might have in our lives. And one of those first things is that we believe we need to hide. That we're not to tell others about Christ. You know, we're to be a Christian, but you know, we don't want to let the whole world know about that. We don't want to let all of our friends really know about that. We just kind of want to keep our Christianity here, and we don't want to really for a lot of other people to know that we've actually become Christians. See, in Judges chapter 6, it says, Gideon, son of Joash, was threading wheat at the bottom of the wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. Now, you'll note in the verses before that, Israel was praying, God, help us, God, help us. They finally clued in that they needed God's help, and they're crying out for help to be delivered from the Midianites. And who does God come to? He comes to somebody that's hiding. He's hiding. See, he didn't want to lose what he already had. What little he had, he didn't want to lose. And see, sometimes that's the fear that we have and the lie that we believe, that what little we have, that we're going to lose it if we step out for God. We're going to lose our friends. We're going to lose everything around us. And we're trying to hold on to that little bit that we have. And we're scared to step out because we're believing a lie that we will lose what little we have. And that's not the truth. That's not the truth. See, Gideon was hiding. He was scared of the Midianites. He was scared of losing that little bit of grain that he had, that would be gone as well. And sometimes we do that as well. We kind of resort to that place and we lack confidence. We're not brave, and we kind of resort to hiding and kind of hope that nobody really notices or really pays attention to us. And sometimes we can be really good at hiding our faith, that nobody else even knows that we are a Christian. We get comfortable there. Again, we want to hold on to what little we have instead of realizing that God can give us so much more. Another lie we sometimes believe in is that we doubt that God really is with us. It's like Gideon in Judges 6:13. He says, if the Lord's with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are the miracles of our ancestors that they told us about? And I read that and I say, isn't that us? Isn't that us? God starts to stir our hearts and we get mad at God. And we start coming up with all these accusations. Say, well, where were you, God, here? And where were you over here? And how come you didn't show up here? And we kind of make accusations against God. Because we're believing a lie that God truly will not be with us. You know, Gideon really doubted whether God was there at all. He was even doubting whether he was having an encounter with God. He was having an encounter with God, and he couldn't recognize it because of that doubt. So we need to be careful of believing those lies of the enemy and those doubts where we get to complain about God and begin to make accusations against God, because if we stay in that realm, then we can miss those encounters with God. That encounter might happen, but it'll be totally oblivious to us. We won't even know that it's there. We won't even realize that God's in the house, or God's presence is here. And sometimes that happens. That, you know, God can be moving mightily in a service and in people's lives, and be other people that, how was service day? I don't know. Same. Didn't experience nothing because they didn't realize that God was with them, that God was in the house. So we need to be careful of that lie that the Lord is not with us. Yes, He is with us. Third lie that we believe is that I'm not good enough. You know, we're too weak, we're too small. God, I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I don't have the talents, Lord. I don't have the abilities. And usually we always point to somebody, well, that person's pretty good, Lord. Like, maybe you should talk to them. And we kind of like try to pass it off to think that we're just not good enough. Maybe you're here this morning and you think, well, I'm not good enough. What can God do through me? Like, I just see so many great people and so many people with great skills and abilities. And like, why aren't you calling them? Because God's calling you.
Yeah, that's right.
Because He's speaking to you. Judges 6:15, listen to what Gideon said. Well, my clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh. And I am the least in my entire family. You know what he was doing? He was lying. Because guess, if you read a little bit later on, you'll see that the Baal, the idol of Baal, was actually on their property. So they weren't the least in that tribe. They must have been quite high up. So he was lying to God and saying, oh no, Lord, I'm just like, we're at the lowest. Like, that's like a millionaire. You know, sometimes a millionaire, you could talk into them and, oh, I got no money at all. I'm broke. And they got millions of dollars. They're believing a lie. They're believing a lie. And sometimes we believe that lie that, you know, we're just not good enough. You know, we can't do it. And we disqualify ourselves with all these excuses that I can't do it, God. It's a lie. You're believing a lie. Another lie that I see here is it really God speaking to me? You know, we convince ourselves that it's not the Lord. It's just our imagination. Or it's maybe just, oh, that person might have just said that at a turn. I'm sure that wasn't from God. I don't think that was under inspiration. That was probably no prophetic word. And we just don't believe it. And sometimes you might even go be and say, well, possibly we'll ask for a sign. Is it really you, God? And Gideon did that. He said, if you're truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it's really the Lord speaking to us. You know, and we're just like Gideon. We kind of convince ourselves that the voice or that prompting in our spirits that we have to go and do something that can't be me. What if God spoke to you today and said, I want you to give $500 to that particular person over there? Probably most of us can't be me. God, I hope you ain't speaking to me. He might be. He might be asking you to. How would you like that one to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning with that other gentleman and say, I want you to give $50,000? Most of us would probably say, praise God, I don't have $50,000, so I don't have to worry about that. But what if you did? Could you be willing to respond to God? Watch those excuses. Watch what the Lord is speaking to you. Don't believe that lie that you're not good enough. Don't disqualify yourself. Is it you, God? It's Him. And then the last thing I want to talk about is fear. Fear really cripples all of us and affects all of us at one time or another. Judges 6:27 talks about Gideon, but he did this at night because he was afraid. When he went, God told him, he said, I want you to tear down the idol to Baal. Here you are as Israel, you're calling out to me for help, and yet you got the idol of Baal right there in your camp that you still worship. Tear it down. Now Gideon did it at night because he feared his father, he feared the people, so he did it undercover. God allowed him to do that. But you know, we often allow fear in our lives to keep us from stepping out to do what God has called us to do. It's a major thing in our lives. It affects us all. That hits us all. When God asks us to do something, sometimes, you know, we're not always brave and willing just to jump out and step out. Sometimes we do so very slowly, just kind of very slowly, feeling our way along to make sure that that's really God. So be careful of that fear and how that fear can affect us. But as I read this story, I found there was an answer to all those fears. I found there was an answer to all the excuses. And I found that God was thinking something totally different than what Gideon was thinking. And God proved himself to Gideon, and Gideon really did become everything that God said he would. So I want to look at some areas here about truth, of who you are and what God is saying to you this very morning. Now some of these maybe I might have to stretch it, but I just really felt that this was the Lord was wanting to say to you this morning and say to your hearts. First thing he says, you are mighty. You are mighty. That's what God thinks of you this morning. Now you might be saying back to me, oh God, Pastor, you've lost it. I am not mighty. Oh my goodness, Pastor, you're crazy. You spent too much time at that camp. The Lord says, you are mighty. The Lord says, you are mighty. Notice how as the Lord comes to see him, and as he begins to speak into Gideon's life, he says, mighty hero. If you have the King James Version, it says, mighty man of valor. And you're going to apply in there, mighty woman of valor. You are mighty. God sees you as mighty. That's who you are in God. See, God sees your potential. He's not looking at your failures. He's not necessarily even looking at who you are right now, but he's looking at who you're going to become in him. He's looking at what your future is going to be, and so he describes you and speaks to you as he sees your future, not your past. We often determine our futures by what has happened to us in the past and say, well, since that's my past, that will also be my future. God doesn't look there. He looks at your future of what you are going to become, and he calls you by that name. And, you know, so often we allow our past to dictate our future. But God sees our future. God sees our potential. God sees our success. And he says, you are mighty. You may not feel that you're mighty today, but God sees something in you that you don't even see yet. And he says, you're mighty. You are mighty. You're a somebody in God. And so God calls us. And God is calling us that we are mighty people. And your future will dictate the course of your life, not your past. God says you're mighty. There's good things in store for you. God has some great things where you can be used of him to accomplish extraordinary things. And he's speaking to you this morning. He's not speaking to the pastors. They're not here. He's not speaking to the worship teams. They're not here. He's speaking to you this morning. He says, you're mighty. You might think that they're mighty. No, God's saying, you're mighty. You're the ones that are mighty. I'm speaking to you today, he says. Second truth of what God thinks of you, that he's with you. You're not alone. You are not alone. He is with you. You have not been forgotten. The Lord is watching over you. His hand is on you. You will succeed. The Lord speaks that truth over Gideon. He says, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Now you will find that Gideon, he went quickly. He said, oh, no, you're not. And God had to confirm to him time and time again that, yes, I am. And matter of fact, he repeats that phrase over and over again. He said, I am with you. Maybe you're here today and you don't think God is even with you. You're not feeling him right now because maybe you're going through a trial or you're going through a situation and your mind is so occupied or that's really kind of stressed you out and you're kind of, well, where's God? And God's answer to you is, I'm right here with you. You are not alone. You are not alone. Things may appear that the Lord is not with you, but rest assured, He is with you today, and He's going to see you through. So you need to realize that today. You are not alone. You have not been abandoned. You have not been forgotten. The Lord is with you, and He will be granting you an assurance of that in a powerful way. I really believe that, that God, for some of you here today, you've been kind of going through some heavy trials, and you're kind of wondering, where are you, God? And God is going to grant you an assurance in an extraordinary way that He is with you, that He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And so when God speaks to you about to do something, you need to realize He's with you. You're not doing it alone. You're not by yourself. You're not stepping out by yourself. The Lord's with you. If only we could see His angelic hosts that be around us, and we'd see these very tall angels around us. If we would only see the Lord that around His presence surrounds us. He's not only with us, He surrounds us. He's with you. He's with you. God doesn't call you to something that He's not going to be with you in. Third truth I see here in the story of Gideon is what God thinks of us is that God is calling you. God's speaking to you. He's speaking to this part of our congregation this morning. The majority of our congregation is not here this morning. Some are at camp, some are on holidays. This message is for you that are here. And maybe for some people that may listen on the internet or whatever, or get a CD later. But this message is for you. He's speaking to you. He is calling you. Judges 6:14, it says to Gideon, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." God is speaking to you this morning. He's not speaking to other people. He's not speaking to the other pastors of the church. He's not speaking to the worship team. He's speaking to you. He's calling you to respond. God is sending you. He's speaking. You know, and I believe for some of you here today, He has been speaking to you for some time. He's been calling you all along. And so you need to realize God believes in you even more than you believe in yourself. And He knows us better than we know ourselves because He's God. And so God doesn't make mistakes when He speaks to you and He calls out to you. You say, "Surely, God, that's not me." Yes, it is you. He's speaking to you because you're going to accomplish extraordinary things in His kingdom. He's calling and speaking to you. Not the whole church. We like to do that as well. Sometimes we hear the Lord say something, and sometimes I see prophetic people, they make that mistake, and they hear a word from heaven, they figure out it's got to be for the whole church. Most times it's actually not. Most times it's for that individual. You need to be listening to what you're speaking, because God's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. Another truth in this story of Gideon, God believes in you. God believes that you're actually able. God believes that you can do it. God believes that you have the abilities that you need. He said to Gideon, you know, just take what you have and go with it. Go with the strength you have, Judges 6:14, and rescue Israel from the Midianites because I'm sending you. You know, we often think, no, I have to have this ability, this gift, and that other gift, and this other thing. And God's saying, look, you just go with what you have. I'll take care of the rest. He'll empower you as you step out for Him. And see, that's part of the secret of the kingdom of God, is that if you're going to keep waiting until you have every ability that you need, you're going to miss the opportunity. You step out what God calls you to do, and He will empower you along the way and equip you along the way to accomplish all those things that He's asking of you. God believes in you. And again, God doesn't make mistakes. God is able to do what He's asking you to do, to work through you. That's our God. That's what our God can do. And that's what He desires to do in our hearts and in our lives here today. Don't ignore that call. Don't excuse that call by saying, God, I'm just not good enough. I'm not spiritual enough, God. There's things I got to keep dealing with, Lord. There's some areas where I've been weak in my faith, Lord. I can't do that. I can't step out and do that. And God says, your abilities are enough. I'm calling you. I'm speaking to you. Why? Because he believes in you. He sees what you're going to become. He's not so concentrated looking at your circumstance right now. He's looking at what you're going to become. That's why he calls you by what you become, not by what you may be or your past. Fifth truth found in that is that God allows for mistakes. I was kind of debating what I should call this fifth one, either that God is patient with you or that God allows for mistakes, but I just kind of felt more so that God wanted me to use that word, mistakes. See, Gideon offered excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse, expressing, you know, frustration, lack of faith, even the doubting whether it was really God or not. And he didn't really feel like that he was the real candidate for the job. And as you read the story, you kind of wonder, I don't think so either, Lord. I think you made maybe a wrong choice here by choosing this man because he doesn't sound like a man of faith. But God is patient with us. You know, even when Gideon leaves, like he's having this wonderful encounter with the angel of the Lord. And then he's saying, well, I really don't know if this is really God. And sometimes we do that our very selves. We kind of say to God, I don't know if that's really you, God. Even though he's confirmed it. Even though, you know, it's been a long journey. You've heard it before. You really do know it's God, but you'll say, oh, I really don't know. And we see in Judges 6:18 where he says to the angel that, you know, well, if it's really, really you, I'm going to go get a sacrifice. And the Lord says, well, I'm going to stay here until you return. See, God's patient with us. He'll wait. Now, I realize that we can sometimes go too far in that area. But I think of what he's saying here this morning to us, that none of us have gone too far. And there are some mistakes that we have made in our lives, and all of us make mistakes. Probably will continue to make mistakes. We're not perfect people. We're just ordinary people. So ordinary people, we make mistakes from time to time. And I think the Lord just wants to say to us today that he allows for mistakes. Maybe you're here today, and in your Christian walk, maybe you made some major mistakes. And you kind of thought that, well, that disqualifies me then. Well, I can't be qualified then to do this for God because of things that I've done. Remember what we've been saying. Your past does not dictate your future. Your past does not dictate your future. Responding to the call of God will dictate your future. God is patient with us. He will allow for some mistakes. It's okay. You've made some mistakes. But that's not who you are. There's a future ahead of you that God sees. And we've got to remember that too. Sixth truth that I believe God wants us to know out of this passage of Scripture is that it's not over till God says it's over. You know, so often we reach that conclusion, well, I guess it's not going to happen. Too much time has gone by. And we think it's over, it's done, or, you know, maybe in our lives, you know, we really blew it and it all got it messed up and we tried to step out for God and things just didn't work out and we kind of said, man, I did that, I tried that, it was a mess. And it's over. See, Gideon realizing that he had made a huge mistake here because he didn't realize his heart wasn't attuned to God to realize it was the Lord speaking to him. And when he finally realizes that it is the Lord and that he's been talking face to face with the Lord, he was fearful because anyone who sees the Lord face to face would die. So he was scared God was going to kill him right on the spot. See that in Judges 6, 22-23, oh, sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I've seen the angel of the Lord. But what does the Lord say? It's okay. The Lord replied, do not be afraid. You will not die. You know, sometimes we've made a lot of excuses to the Lord. Sometimes we've made a lot of mistakes to the Lord. And I really feel that there's somebody here today as well, that somebody has come to you, and it may have been a spiritual leader, and said to you that it's over for you. That because you made a mistake sometime in your past, they came to you and said, your ministry is done. It's over. And I want to tell you something. It's not over till God says it's over. It's not over until God says it's over. Maybe you've been rebellious. Maybe you made some wrong turns, and maybe you know things have happened that were beyond your control, and things got all messed up, and you just kind of reached that place that, well, I guess God's just not going to use me anymore. It's not over till God says it's over. Don't ever believe those lies that it's over or it's done. It ain't done until He says it's done. So be careful. And if there's somebody here that a Christian leader has come to you and told you that your ministry is over, he's not God, or she's not God. It's not over till the Lord says it's over. Then lastly, what God thinks of us. He says we're brave. And I chuckle at that, because that's not how we often feel, is it? God says, you're brave. And we're looking at ourselves, I am terrified, God. I am scared to step out for you. And God is saying, you're brave. Why would He say that? Because He sees what we're going to be doing. He sees our future. And He also realizes that I'm going to help you. You can do this. See, we keep looking at our own abilities and what we can do. See, we need to be looking past that and realize, no, we need to be walking in what God can do. We often limit God by putting Him in a little box, because these are only things that we can do ourselves. And we need to get our eyes on Him to realize that we can do far greater things because of Him and because of that He desires to help us. Gideon, as he goes through all these experiences, he hears the Lord say to him in Judges 6, 23, 24, do not be afraid, you will not die. And Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. See, Gideon didn't start out brave at all. I think he is in a perfect example of you and I, that when God speaks to us and says, I want you to go out and do this great thing, we say, what, who, me? I can't do that. God, I don't have the abilities. Oh, Lord, and we always think there's always that other person in the church and saying, got to be for them today. Yes, bless the Lord. Just speak to them, Lord. Just speak to them. Yes. Just let that be confirmed to them. And we keep pushing off. And God, no, I'm speaking to you. He's speaking to you today. He's speaking to you, and He says, you're brave. How can we be brave? The Lord is with you. He is with you. He will help you. He is your peace. He can bring the peace in the midst of your storm. God makes us brave. We're not brave in ourselves. God makes us brave. And you will find yourselves as times when you step out for God and you're afraid and you're scared, and all of a sudden you take the step, all of a sudden there's courage. All of a sudden there's strength. Why? Because you took the step and God's right there with you and you're brave. God doesn't see you just in your present situation. He sees what you're going to accomplish. And He calls you by that name. You are brave. And He will bring the assurance of His presence and His peace in your life. And you're going to see that, yes, I'm brave. Do you realize that Gideon, this guy that made all these excuses, and I can't, in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, his name is mentioned again as a hero of the faith. Isn't that interesting? Because that's what God called them way back in Judges. Thousands of years before the other part was ever written, God declared of who He was and who He's going to be, because God knew. And He did. He became a hero of the faith. So this morning, as we close, you really need to realize this morning that this message is for you. Can it be applied to the whole congregation? Sure it can be. Hopefully it's going to touch some people that listen to this CD. But God's speaking to you this morning. He's speaking to us right here in this room. It's us that he's talking to. We're not to pass it off today. I think there's a reason that all of our leaders weren't here today, because you might be thinking, yeah, this is our leaders, man. This is them. No, God's saying this is you. This is you this morning. God uses people. That's you and I. God uses ordinary people. People with faults and failures and mistakes and doubts and fears. That's who he uses. So don't exclude yourself from any call from God. I don't care what has happened in your past. There's a future that is great ahead of you, if you'll just simply respond to that call of God. And I believe that God's renewing calls in our lives to be involved in the kingdom of God, and that God really does want to do extraordinary things in this whole area through you. Through you. Not just the church. Yes, church is part of that because you're part of the church. But he wants to work down in the individual level. You and I. And he wants to correct our thinking this morning, because we've been believing some lies and been accepting some lies of the enemy, and we've been excluding ourselves and thinking we don't qualify. You do qualify. When the Lord says, I'm sending you, you're it. You're it. So I want you to know this morning, you are mighty. That's what God thinks of you. You're mighty. You mightn't feel like it, but God sees that you're mighty. He sees your potential this morning. You need to realize that God is with you this morning. You're not alone, and he's going to walk right with you all the way. You need to realize that he's speaking to you, and that he believes in you, and he even allows for mistakes. Man, sometimes we get so hard on ourselves because we made a mistake. It's not over until God says it's over. We're brave. I asked Marty as we close here this morning to play this song, You Make Me Brave. One of those newer songs that our worship team sometimes sing, but here are some of the words. It says, you call me out beyond the shore and to the waves. You ever sit at the ocean sometimes and watch those big waves come in? They're powerful. God says, I'm calling you out beyond the shore. Start walking on the water. But you see the waves. Start walking. It says, no fear can hinder now that love has made a way. You make me brave. No fear can hinder now that the promises that you have made. You make me brave. You call me out beyond the shore and to the waves. And that's what God is doing. He's calling us out for us to take that step of faith. Simply that first part is just simply say, yes, Lord, okay. Okay, Lord. I don't understand, Lord, how I could possibly do any of those things you're asking me to do. But I'll say, okay, I'll receive that, Lord. And I'll start taking a step. And as you start taking steps, the Lord will be with you. The Lord will strengthen you. The Lord will use what abilities you have and begin to strengthen you and grant you other abilities as you keep stepping out with God. And you will do that which is extraordinary that you had thought only, oh, that other spiritual person, that's probably them. They're going to do it. No, God said, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. He's speaking to you right here in this place this morning. You.
Bethel Family Worship Center, where families grow